Hi, I'm Govind Jayaraman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Today we have Jack McDonald. And Jack is a partner of Lisa Distribution. Lisa's a leading supplier of premium surfaces like countertops, sinks, and vanity tops. But he is active in his volunteer life. He's an active and dynamic entrepreneur. And he's going to share some wisdom that was handed down to him from his grandfather. Let's listen to my conversation with Jack McDonald.
Jack, welcome to Paper Napkin Wisdom. Really excited that you joined me here today.
Well, thanks, Govind. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so you shared with me a different and very interesting paper napkin. Could I ask you to read it for everybody listening, please?
Absolutely. It was a quote from my grandfather, and his expression that he gave me was always, never get too busy making a living that you forget to make a life.
So why did you share that with me?
Well, it's interesting because it falls into the EO mantra of balance between business, life, and personal. And the reason why the quotation is so poignant for me personally is because my grandfather really only started living this later in his life. He was a very, very successful entrepreneur, very active socially in the Montreal social scene back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, very prominent. He and my grandmother were the head of and involved in a tremendous number of social activities here in Montreal. As a result of that, they were able to provide an excellent standard of living to my mother and my uncle, except for the fact that they did not provide much time to my mother and uncle. And I remember my mother saying frequently that when she was young, her father and mother could give them anything they wanted except their time. And so when my grandfather started saying this expression to me when he saw the trajectory my life was taking as an entrepreneur, I think it was very cautionary in the sense that it's very easy as entrepreneurs, or I guess as an executive in a company, to get drawn into the whirlpool of total consumption of your business to the extent that you neglect the other very important parts of your life. As a result of that, I've tried as best I can to maintain that kind of balance. And very early in my marriage, I mentioned this quote to my wife, and she frequently feeds it back to me, sometimes throws it back at me to make sure that I maintain that balance.
So let me ask you, I think it's really profound, and I think this is so simple. And I love the way you've expressed it, that it's easy to get drawn into the whirlpool. Because, you know, many times we as entrepreneurs believe that the environment is happening to us, right? That we're just part of the environment and we have to go with it. But you're saying that's not the case.
That's correct. And obviously there's times in your life or in business where you are going to be unbalanced. It could be in your personal life, for example, if you're going through some sort of traumas or things like that, where you have to devote more of your time to one aspect of your life. But I think on the business side of things, this is really a function of choice. You can't choose if there's a tragedy in your family or if there's an illness in your family. But I think in business, you can make choices. And those choices can revolve around your willingness to delegate to your teams. It can revolve around your willingness to just say no to a customer or to a supplier or an employee. It can revolve around the decisions you make when a customer unexpectedly comes into town. Sometimes you have to make those decisions and do what's best for the business. But I think it's very, very easy, and I've done it myself, to get drawn into the conversation at home that, you know what, I need to do this for the business, or I've got to go out tonight because it's best for the business. And don't forget, the business is what supports our lifestyle. And I think that conversation happens very frequently. And I think it's a very, very damaging conversation if it's invoked too often. Because I think you're making a statement to your family that at the end of the day, business always comes first. And business is more important than your children or more important than your relationship with your spouse. Sometimes it is, but it certainly isn't every single time. And I think it makes a powerful statement to your family to say, do you know what? A major customer came in town today and I decided not to go out with them. I left it up to the sales manager, or I told the person that I need to spend time with my family.
Yeah. I think that's really, really powerful because, you know, as leaders, not only just in our work environments, but also at home, what we do is way more important than what we say, right? Or at least as important. And what you're reminding us is that, you know, what we do leaves a legacy, leaves a wake.
Absolutely. And I think the impact is not necessarily on the family. It can also be in the business itself. If you're always imposing yourself in all the relationships all the time, I think you're sending an equal message to your team. If you're fortunate enough to have a business that is of a size to have a sales team or a management team, that you don't trust your managers or you don't trust your sales force to adequately manage all these relationships. So I think in many ways, it's a double lose. By not trusting your managers or your sales force or your executives to handle these relationships. And you're also saying to your family, you're not valuable. And when it comes time to sell the business, I think it's very important in terms of the valuation of the business that the business isn't perceived just to be, you know, a contingent and totally dependent on you. And as a discipline, I think if your long-term exit plan is to sell the business, that you need to be able to demonstrate that the business is completely viable without you. And I think that begins with empowering your team to do things that you in the past, you know, always did. And it's doubly hard if you like doing that kind of stuff. If you're the kind of guy who loves being out with your customer or the kind of guy who loves making all those decisions, it's a very, very difficult process of disengagement.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. And so here's the pushback, right? The pushback is, oh, that's really easy to say, Jack, in moments of or in prolonged periods of stability in a company, or if you've got a company that's a certain size, or if your company's mature. But you've been able to live this in your life in your company, and you know there have been some dynamics. I mean, your company's grown dramatically over the last several years, and it hasn't always been just clear sailing, has it?
That's correct. So just to give some perspective, my business partner and I started the business 14 years ago at $0. And this year we'll top out somewhere top line around $23 million. So obviously we've had a tremendous amount of growth. And fortunately, with those kind of numbers, you are able to have a bit of a team behind you. But even early on, when it was just basically Mark, myself, and another guy, you can maintain perspective. It's a function of some choices and decisions. We all know that in anything you undertake, you can devote virtually every waking hour. You could be one of these people who's unbalanced in terms of your sporting events or unbalanced in terms of too much time with your family. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it is all about the balance. And so I would say to somebody who says it can't be done, my pushback to them would be, well, then you probably haven't tried. There's a lot of stuff that we do that's just busy work, and there's a lot of work we do that's important. And I think we all understand there are times when you need to put in those 20-hour days. But I believe if you're having to put in 20-hour days beyond the first two, maybe 3 years of the business, then something is wrong with the way you've structured the business.
Yeah, and I understand that there are seasons as well, right? I mean, there are seasons where sometimes we do have to immerse ourselves, but I love this notion that if you're saying that it can't be done, you just haven't tried.
I agree.
So how deliberate are you about reminding yourself? You talked about how sometimes your wife quotes or slash throws it back at you, this quote. How do you make it part of your intentional every day that you remind yourself to make a life?
I guess I'm lucky, and I know it's a cliche, but in my case, I know it's absolutely true. I really enjoy being with my family. I've got great kids. I've got a great wife, so that makes it easy. But even if your balance is something other than maybe your family, it's a sporting event. And I think what it is when something comes up that takes me outside the usual amount of time I'm prepared to allocate to business, I make the decision in terms of, is this more important to me and more important to my overall goals than spending time with my wife or my kids or doing the event with myself? And I think it's easy to always say that, yeah, business comes first. And it's easy to opt in for that, to make that choice. Well, I've got to spend time on growing the business. But you know what? The first time you say no to somebody is very difficult, and there's a lot of guilt. The second time is a little bit less, the third time less, et cetera. And so I think it's a function of habits and comfort levels of of just imposing the discipline on yourself. I'm gonna say no, and it might be something as simple that, you know, this week I've got four nights out. Next week I'm only going to spend three nights out, and gradually train yourself. I can assure you from my own personal experience, the time I spend away from the business is actually the time when I've actually been able to think about the business and come up with some things that have grown the business. When my partner and I have done our business retreats away from the day to day is when we've actually had some of our best, and to be perfectly honest, some of our most disastrous innovative ideas, but at least the creativity flows.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting, right? I mean, you're also talking about the step back from the business gives you the opportunity to gain that perspective from a whole different lens, right? I know that sometimes I can never find the solution to a problem when I sit there and work at it. But the solution comes when I'm off doing something else. It's completely unrelated.
Absolutely. And I'm not a psychologist or anybody who's expert in you know, the way our neurotransmitters work, but I completely agree with that, in the sense that when your brain is busy doing other things, you really do get a chance to process in the background with some of the other parts of your mind and come up with some very creative and neat stuff. Certainly that's been my experience, and I think you and I both know numerous entrepreneurs who feel exactly the same way, that a key to make your business successful is you have to get away from the business from time to time, you know, and the best way to do that is to help build some of the other pillars in your life.
Yeah, and Let me go back to the, you know, the source of this, right? Your grandfather talked about how it reminded you when he started to see your career trajectory of this lesson that he felt that he learned too late. How did that come up in your upbringing, because your mother was on the other side of that, that, you know, she said that she could get anything but their time. How did that play out for you growing up? Did you see something different?
I grew up in a family of very hardworking people. My mom was earlier in my life was a stay-at-home mother, but she was very, very involved in all aspects of the community. My dad was an executive with Air Canada back when it was a Crown Corporation, and so he spent a tremendous amount of time at work. But then the rest of the time, he was very involved in hockey, scouting, etc., and with the kids, you know, my sister, my brother, and I in our lives, as was my mother. And I don't believe my mother and my uncle ever had that conversation with their parents, because they were of the generation where kids were to be seen and not heard, where it was very much expected that, you know, the father and the mother did their own thing. And, you know, they're of the generation of, you know, you go out, you volunteer, you do what you have to do. And the children are sort of a decoration, if you will. I think what happened is I started my first business when I was 17, and my grandfather could see the trajectory and the amount of time and effort I was putting into the business and I was going to school, et cetera. And I think that's what triggered that conversation. I do not believe it was triggered by any conversation of impact with my mother and my uncle with him. I think this is just the reflection he had as an older gentleman looking back on his life. I don't believe he had any regrets in his life except about the fact that he probably did not spend the time he should have with his kids. And frankly, I mean, certainly in my 20s, I had an unbalanced life. I was working very, 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 very hard in previous businesses, and I wasn't married, so the relationship dynamics were different when you're in with a girlfriend as opposed to you know, a wife and children. But still, it did damage the relationships. There's no doubt about it. And the wisdom of my grandfather's words probably only impacted me, 6 or 7 years ago, when I realized, you know, it's so easy to get skewed off and become a one-dimensional person. Yeah, and I'm not sure if I've answered your question in the manner that you were hoping, but that's sort of it.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense to me, and it did answer the question. You know, when you think about just the construction also of the whole quote is never get too busy making a living. It's not busyness. You even talked about this, you know, there's busy work and there's impactful accomplishment work. And those are very different things. And busyness is something that really, as leaders, we need to remove from our lives.
I mean, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And not even just in our business lives, but in our personal lives as well. You know, how often do you go home and spend the weekend just working around the house, mowing the lawns, painting things, and you still don't get the time for you personally or the time with your kids? And certainly, I think we've all had the experience of just being drawn into the weeds on the business. Even when the business is small and there's only a 2 or 3 person operation, it's very easy to get distracted either A, into a bunch of fires, or much more insidious is sucked into a pet project that really isn't going to benefit the business. You know, we all have the things we love to do, and very often those things we love to do generally don't benefit the business as impactfully as, you know, taking the time and discipline to look at what really needs to be done in the short and medium term to benefit and grow the business. That's equally dangerous busy work as is just, you know, the stuff that we all can easily identify.
So how do you stay aware, and how are you reminding yourself to beware of that busy, dangerous work, that piece?
I'm a sucker for that stuff. You know, I like technologies. I'm very involved with the IT side of the business. And frankly, given my role in the business, it's really probably not a prudent use of my time to be spending time in the details of you know, programming queries for SAP and things like that. Fortunately, because I really have tried to spend no more than 50 hours a week, maybe 55 hours a week in the business, and when I go home, I do spend my time with the family. It's just the discipline of saying I'm going to spend the 55 hours has helped me stay focused. But I very easily slip into the things that are not beneficial. And then every once in a while, the light bulb will go off saying, Jack, is really this the best use of your time? I was very good for about 6 to 8 months. And I'm getting back to that groove of before I take any task on of asking the question, is this going to be beneficial for the business, or is it just something that's fun? And that I find is really helpful. To ask that question before any task. The other thing that I found really helpful is to schedule an amount of time in your calendar and say, okay, I'm going to spend X number of hours on this task. And once you've scheduled it in and you write down and schedule the task, then you realize this is trivial. If I'm going to take the time to spend 2 hours on something and put it in my agenda and you look at your agenda and say, that's a trivial use of my time, that is a really good discipline. Because once it's written down and you devote the time and clearly allocate the time for a task, I've found that's really been helpful in helping me stay focused on the aspects of the business that I'm good at and that are really going to help the business grow. And in the case of my business, that focuses on profitability lately. And to be honest, we've seen tremendous results in the last 3 to 6 months because of that discipline of writing things down in my outlook, saying this is the amount of time, and this is how I'm going to spend the time.
Yeah, I really believe in that. And I think that discipline is a big part of that because I believe success is earned and it's never owned. It's something that's rented and the rent's due every day. And I love the time blocks. I use that too. But I love the added perspective that you talk about it in terms of limiting it around the total amount of time that you have in a week. And if you're going to spend 2 hours out of the, you know, whatever your maximum is, let's call it 40 hours, and then that's a significant piece that's of your weekly time towards a particular task. It ought to be impactful.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you one other thing that I've done that's really helped me save time, and you might have been the recipient of one of these. I have an auto reply on my CCs, and it basically says, I don't expect me to look at my CCs until the weekend, and don't expect any action from me on a CC. And what's been helpful is it's avoided these situations of me getting sucked into a whole bunch of cover your ass kind of email things. And like a lot of businesses, we get a lot of that, of, you know, for your information. When if there was an email, I wouldn't be hearing about these incidents. So that's just one little thing that I've also done that really helps me save time. The other thing that I do is I frankly put my iPhone down when I get home, and I don't look at it until I come to work the next day. Because, I mean, there's no point being home, you know, working. You work 55 hours at the office and come home and do another 20, but you're home. That's you're deluding yourself into thinking that you've got balance.
Yeah, no, that's really powerful. I think these little devices that we carry around are a real danger, as is that CC, and even worse is BCC.
Oh, yeah.
So I totally get it. And I love that that response, that auto response. Thankfully, I haven't been on the other side of that response. So I haven't been seeing you on stuff. But, you know, I think that's a really powerful discipline, because there's so many things that we get hooked into that we really shouldn't even know about.
You know, and I think that's a huge difficulty entrepreneurs face, especially the guys, you know, who've started the business, you know, grew it from nothing. And it's so difficult to move from knowing and controlling every aspect of the business, knowing every customer, processing personally every order, and growing the business to the point where you don't know everything that's going on. You don't know the shipments, because I'm sure there's a statistic out there, but I've seen, and I know you, I'm sure you've seen it as well, businesses that grow to the capacity of the entrepreneur, and then they stop, and then they inevitably they die. And the most difficult thing that I've ever had to do, it was coming to the realization that the people who work at Leeza, my teammates, are here with the best interests of the company at heart. Like, they are in good faith. They truly are in good faith. They want the business to succeed. And once I finally got that into my mind, especially with my managers, that these guys are trying to make decisions, if I allow them, they're going to make decisions that are often better than mine because they're slightly removed, and they're making decisions in the best interest of the business. They're not out there trying to steal from me. They're not out there trying to give away the profit. They're not out there trying to harm the business, because frankly, this is their livelihood as well. Once I got that clear in my mind, it made it very easy to hand over decision-making. And I'll give you an example that literally happened this past Friday. We spend about $3 million a year on freight. It's a huge budget item for us. And my operations, vice president of operations, fired the company that was managing all this freight and all this aspect of the business without consulting me. And I was thrilled, because she did the evaluation. She's been dealing with the frustrations. She made the call. And that's a huge, huge part of our business. We're a distribution company. Proper running of freight and controlling that is a key success factor for us. And that decision was made without my involvement. And I'm very, very, very pleased and proud that she made that call. I believe it was the right call. But it's certainly, in the old days, I would have been sucked into that, and I would have been questioning and second guessing. And I can tell you, her confidence level continues to grow with as more and more decisions get made. But I was very, very pleased.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's a great reminder. And that's the stuff that gets you out of making a living and the busyness of making a living, and gets you back to making your life.
Absolutely.
Jack, I love this conversation. I'm really grateful that you shared it with me. Hopefully I can get you back again sometime. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be great, Govan, and good luck. And this is a fantastic series that you've put together. It's fantastic.
Thanks so much.
You too.
It was a great conversation, Jack. Thanks for that. And I think it was really interesting that this wisdom was shared by Jack's grandfather. Never get too busy making a living that you forget to make a life. You know, Jack and his grandfather are both successful entrepreneurs. Jack's grandfather was involved in all kinds of social activities in the bustling Montreal scene of the 40s and 50s. For those of you who don't know, Montreal was a very dynamic city in that time. Still is. Fascinating conversation with Jack, and thank you for sharing that. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this story, and if this resonates with you, please log on to papernapkinwisdom.com and share your thoughts and ideas. Also, you can follow along at Wise Napkin on Twitter. And last but not least, don't forget about our Facebook site. Just search Paper Napkin Wisdom. We also have launched Paper Napkin Wisdom Leadership Academy, which guides you through 14 steps to grow leadership based on paper napkins in your company, in your organization, and for yourself. My name is Govan Jayaraman. This was Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day.